WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. State health officials warn of dangerous heat this July 4th weekend. WMRA's Calvin Penn explores the phenomenon of flash droughts. And a federal judge blocks a new Virginia law that prevents ICE officers from wearing masks. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, July 2nd. Governor Abigail Spanberger and state health officials are warning Virginians to prepare for dangerously hot temperatures this holiday weekend. Extreme heat warnings for Winchester and areas east of the Blue Ridge, including Charlottesville, are in effect today. Richmond's annual 4th of July celebrations at Dogwood Dell have been canceled over concerns related to the heat. The National Weather Service predicts temperatures around 100 with heat index values over 110 in some areas. Information about local cooling centers is available on the Virginia Department of Health's website at vdh.virginia.gov in this heat. Remember to drink plenty of water when you're outside. Stay in air-conditioned spaces when possible and check on your shut-in neighbors. Bring your pets inside, but if they have to stay outside, make sure they have shade and plenty of water. Drought conditions are also worsening. With almost the entire state under a drought warning, Augusta County has announced voluntary water conservation measures. The News Leader reports that Augusta Water, the public water provider serving residential, commercial, and industrial customers throughout the county, announced Wednesday that it has implemented voluntary water conservation measures for all customers in response to the drought. There is also a more sudden, lesser-known dry weather phenomenon impacting the environment. WMRA's Calvin Penn spoke with environmental scientist Tobias Gerken about flash droughts.
Drought is a feature of our climate system, so some are faster, some are slower. When we think about droughts, we really think about these impacts, like what does that actually cause if you have less water available?
Tobias Gerken is a professor at James Madison University's College of Integrated Science and Engineering. While long-term droughts develop over the course of several months or years, flash droughts occur within a couple of weeks. So far, the conditions that drive more sudden droughts have been a mystery.
What we don't quite understand is like why certain droughts develop much faster than others. And so the question that I've been working on with colleagues at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and some of the students here is to better understand, when are these droughts developing? Like, how often do these flash droughts develop as part of a larger drought? And then is there something about the atmosphere that makes these droughts happen really quickly?
And because flash droughts intensify so rapidly, they're like a sudden shock to the system, damaging ecosystems and crops.
Over the span of like just a couple of weeks, you really go from conditions that look normal, like it's like nice and green and plants are growing, to conditions that are really, really dry. So plants stop growing, they get stressed, ecosystems are not functioning quite as well because we're lacking the water.
Droughts are caused by a lack of precipitation, but as Gerken explains, there are other factors that drive their intensity beyond dry spells.
As plants are growing, or as if the surface is moist, then water is going to evaporate.
That process is known as evapotranspiration.
That is going to make the air above moister because you're moving like water from the surface in the atmosphere. And as the surface dries, less water is being moved from the surface into the atmosphere. And so you could think about this as a potential reinforcing feedback.
Those feedback loops are what Gerken, his students, and his colleagues are focusing on as they analyze 50 years worth of climate and environmental data from across the U.S.
Once you're already in this like drying pathway, then it's going to get harder to get out of that because there's less water available, so less water goes into the atmosphere. As less water goes into the atmosphere, it becomes even drier, so you try to suck out even more water. And so that is like one of the things that we are trying to better understand. Like, can we quantify or can we detect these land atmosphere feedbacks? And then can we map this to basically the rate of drought intensifications?
Their research keeps an eye on the Great Plains, as it is one of the largest agricultural regions in the world, and as such, is vulnerable to flash droughts.
I mean, if you think about where like all the corn is being grown, all the wheat is being grown, that's the Great Plains. And it's also a region where we know from like previous research that this is really a hotspot for like land atmosphere interactions. So there's like something about the Great Plains region that makes this particularly susceptible to these types of land atmosphere feedback.
Gherkin said that's due in part to the fact that the region is semi-dry, especially as a transition area between the more humid east and the drier west.
For these land atmosphere feedbacks to develop, well, you need to be kind of in the middle. So if you're too dry, then you're just like lacking the water. And so whenever you're getting the water, then you're going to get evapotranspiration. But how much water, how much rain you get is really what matters. And if you're too wet, then basically it does really matter having a little bit less water. But if you're in this intermediate region where as you add or move water, the system really responds, because then you're really in an area where these feedbacks can develop and where they can go into both directions.
The goal is to improve early warning systems in regions where flash droughts may develop and give communities enough time to prepare for the impacts. Gherkin said that could especially benefit farmers.
When you think about drought forecasting, what you really need to know is there something that's going to develop like in the next couple of months? So imagine that you're like a farmer and you make a decision what to plant, if to plant, or will you need to like buy like hay because right now like nothing is growing. And so typically farmers would be cutting hay, but it's not there. So if you want to make these decisions, then you need to have like lead time. So you need to know a couple of weeks, couple of months in advance whether something like that is happening.
As their research continues, Gherkin and his students have been presenting their findings at national conferences, and they're working on a peer-reviewed paper. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
We posted links to more information at WMRA.org and on our app. Full disclosure, JMU's Board of Visitors holds WMRA's operating license. As the nation prepares for its 250th birthday, the Charlottesville Downtown Mall celebrates its 50th anniversary on Friday. Hannah Davis Reed with VPM News has more.
50 years ago, there was a boom of pedestrian mall development as city planners across the country tried to draw people to city centers. Today, Charlottesville's downtown mall is one of only a few dozen remaining. To mark the milestone, city leaders, along with the nonprofit group Friends of Seaville Downtown, organized a birthday party to celebrate the area. The Albemarle Charlottesville Historical Society is spotlighting how civic leadership and social activism shaped the city with a special exhibition. Executive Director Olivia Brown leads tours.
To realize that vision and what do we still have to try to accomplish to see how we can better realize the vision that the people who voted to make this thing here were thinking.
Then and now Charlottesville in the 1970s is on display at Vault Virginia on the Mall.
Hannah Davis Reed reporting. All 8 branches of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library in Charlottesville have stopped charging overdue fines. Some fines still exist. For example, if an item is overdue by more than a month, patrons will be charged a replacement cost. But if they return the book, the fine is cleared. Borrowers who return damaged items will still face a fee. A federal judge has blocked a new Virginia law that prevents U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers from wearing masks. The law, which would have gone into effect July 1st, would make it a Class 1 misdemeanor to wear facial coverings while performing official duties. U.S. District Judge Robert Payne said federal law trumps state law in this case. Virginia Attorney General Jay Jones said he strongly disagrees with the ruling but has not said whether he will appeal. Among the new state laws that took effect Wednesday, expanded cell phone limits in public schools, broader renter protections, and a requirement that employers disclose salary ranges in job postings. Other measures create a process to reconsider certain older marijuana convictions, allow judges to require speed-limiting technology for some reckless drivers, and loosen long-standing alcohol sales rules for restaurants. Finally today, documents supporting a proposed merger between Virginia's largest electric utility and a Florida power giant are expected to be submitted soon. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner reports on bipartisan concerns in the General Assembly.
I've never seen a merger happen where the company that was being bought didn't lose jobs.
That's Democratic House Speaker Don Scott. Monday, after being asked about his read on the proposed merger between Dominion Energy and Florida-based NextEra. The $67 billion merger comes as Dominion faces massive infrastructure improvements and generation demand they say NextEra will be able to better finance. But Scott's fear about losing Virginia jobs is shared across the aisle. Here's Lynchburg Republican Senator Mark Peek.
Dominion has a very nice new building right there in the heart of Richmond, and I don't want to see that go quiet.
The deal still has to be reviewed by Virginia's State Corporation Commission. At an energy committee meeting last month, Dominion reps said they expect that filing to come in the third quarter, which starts July 1. Once submitted, a 180-day review clock starts ticking. Steve Hainer with the Conservative Jefferson Forum is holding judgment until that SEC review completes.
I think the SEC usually does a good job, but this is the biggest merger in the country, maybe one of the biggest mergers in the world. I'm not skeptical. I'm just saying everybody pay attention. It's a big deal.
Back in the legislature, Scott offered this warning.
We don't see a clear, direct benefit to our customers, to our ratepayers, to our business community, then we need to really be looking at this proposal with a jaundiced eye.
As for promised benefits so far, Dominion says their Virginia customers could get part of $1.7 billion in bill credits if the deal goes through. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.